Our gospel reading is taken from Mark chapter 10 this morning. We begin with verse 46. They came to Jericho, and as Jesus was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up. He is calling you." And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabbi, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus, amen. I have to say it was fun to tune in last Sunday and watch our elder lead the liturgy and then hear an encouraging word from Reverend Irfan Wilson Mahmood. And certainly, I received it. I was thankful for it. And, you know, I pray that the same will be for you today. Our gospel reading is fascinating. I mean, it's fascinating how they came to Jericho, and as they were leaving, like, well, what happened in Jericho? What happens in Jericho stays in Jericho. But what happens on the way out, well, it becomes big news. And it's fascinating what happens as Jesus, his disciples, and a bunch of people are leaving Jericho. They encounter blind Bartimaeus. And it's almost as if he's the only one who can really see Jesus. As blind as he was, as much as they could see, it's as if Bartimaeus is the only one who has the eyes of faith to see who Jesus is. It's fascinating. We don't know how this faith was born in him. We don't know much about him at all, son of Timaeus, and that's it. But we do know this, that he heard enough about this rabbi going about the Judean countryside, loving, healing, and forgiving. He heard enough about this one that the Holy Spirit worked faith in him. So that when he heard it was Jesus, he couldn't hold back asking for help. Not going with the crowd. Not just fitting into the crowd. He asked for help. It's fascinating. But because this is Mark's gospel, we have to understand what Mark is doing as we go through all of his gospel. Mark is making a case, distinguishing the way unbelief operates and the way faith operates. And it really hits the climax in chapter 9, where we find out that Jesus has had it up to here with a problem. He comes off of the Mountain of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John. He encounters a dad who has a son, demon-possessed, and apparently the congregation that was gathered, it wasn't going so well. They were arguing about theology. And you know, Jesus says, "How long must I put up with you? How long must I bear with you? Oh, unbelieving generation. Whoa, having a hard day there. He's just addressing the biggest problem. The biggest problem in your life and my life has nothing to do with our physicalness as much as the maladies of our body can really plague us, and they do. But far worse than blindness is the unbelief that plagues all of us. It's your biggest problem. It's my biggest problem. But isn't it nice to know there's someone who came to work on that? And that's what Jesus did. In chapter 9, he tells the Father, if you believe, all things are possible. And of course, he lands the fish, punching the Father in the spiritual gut as he needed to be. His Father realized and he prayed, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. But today, in chapter 10, we have to understand the different ways between faith and unbelief. So, note the sound of unbelief versus the sound of faith. So, we're going to hear the difference between faith and unbelief. Are you ready? Here it goes. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me. Shh. Want me to do it again? Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me. Shh. One more time. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me. Shut up. Leave him alone. What, Bartimaeus was the only one there that had any problems? You think? The faith, who had the faith to ask? Bartimaeus did. Who had the eyes to see how much he needed mercy? Bartimaeus. Gosh. What were the rest of the people doing? Just along for the ride? They didn't want to trouble the rabbi? I mean, certainly Jesus is a rock star at this time. He's not being rejected yet, but he will be. What's going on? What can we learn? I mean, how many of us here are just going through the motions? Yeah, we're doing, going to church, being church. Are you asking Jesus for mercy while you're here? Are you just fitting in and not asking for help? I'm talking to me. It's my problem too. My biggest problem is your biggest problem, and that's our unbelief. And so we're all learning from blind Bartimaeus, who had the eyes to see who Jesus really is. And he asked for help. He asked for help. He asked for help. But we have to understand what's going on here. And it's not in the text here. But we have to understand how serious this was. He obviously at one time could see. We don't know what happened. But we heard it already. He asked to have his sight back, to be recovered. We don't know what happened or what took place, but we have to understand what was going on at that day and at that time in the spiritual world of religious zeal. And we go to John chapter 9 to hear about it. I'll read it to you. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. Now, it's always good news in the gospel when you hear how Jesus sees. He takes notice. He can actually see you. You can't hide from him. Now, that's good news. Now, sometimes we want to hide from him, but it's good news that he sees. Sees a man blind from birth. Now, what do the disciples see? Let's go on. And his disciples asked him, "Pastor, or rabbi, teacher, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" What? What's their conclusion about the guy's physical malady? He's being punished. The only question is who did the bad deed against God so that he would be blind? Well, what kind of theology is that? Well, the answer is it's really bad theology, right? But how many ways do we do the same thing? You hear about something happening to someone, you think, oh, they're getting what they... God is socking it to them. Come on, what kind of theology is that? Well, the answer is it's really bad theology. But we do this kind of stuff to ourselves, don't we? I mean, who do we treat that way the most? Ourselves. And so we say, well, I guess I get this. I deserve this. This is coming my way. That's the way the cookie crumbles. I guess that's what's going to have to happen in my marriage or in my parenting or in my grandparenting. I guess this is just the way it's going to be with my job, or this is the way it's going to be in the church. What? Why are we settling for that kind of unbelief? Because we're just really good at settling for that kind of unbelief. With all due respect to those who have earned degrees, we all have PhDs in unbelief. We're good at it. We're living in a culture that's saturated with it right now. All we're supposed to do is operate by our senses and our own ability to appraise things, and we're coming up short and a day late and a dollar short. And what's the use? Why settle for that? Why settle for that? Why go along with the crowd? Ask for help. That's what Bartimaeus did. He asked for help. What's interesting is, how does Jesus see the whole thing? I mean, it's so cool. Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him." Wow. As you look at your life, as you look at some of the things you're struggling with, dare you say that about what you're going through? I know there are things where you can say, "Pastor, you got to be kidding me. I get it." But you know, faith looks beyond what is being appraised by our senses and knows that God can do more. And you know, you pay me to remind you of that. But I need to be reminded of it as well. Because that's what mercy does. It changes everything. I mean, we're going to see it in a pretty profound way with Bartimaeus, but there's a lot going on here. That the works of God might be displayed in him. Now, it'd be nice to go through the rest of John chapter 9, because it drives the religious system nuts, what Jesus does for this man. And the religious system of the day rages against Jesus and this blind man. It's fascinating to think how much religion is just unbelief. Why? Because they're refusing to see Jesus for who he is. They're refusing to call upon Jesus for what he alone can give. But Bartimaeus saw. He believed. He asked. And it is just absolutely wonderful. Bartimaeus asks for mercy. He has no bargaining chips in his hands. It's like that one old hymn. "With nothing in my hands I bring, simply to your cross I cling." He has nothing. He comes to Jesus in naked faith, knowing that what he deserves is no answer. You know, mercy is asking to not be treated the way we deserve to be treated. And so we ask for mercy. He asks for mercy. 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 "Don't treat me as I deserve, Lord. Don't treat me as I deserve." It's fascinating. And it's interesting, you know, in the Greek it says it's an Well, he just keeps on saying, Lord Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me. He just keeps saying, Lord Jesus, Son of David, have mercy. You know, you kind of wonder, what's that doing to the rest of them? Do you think maybe he's asking for help, but he's starting to minister to the crowd that's saying, shh. You know, his faith is bearing testimony to his relationship with Jesus. His faith is also showing the shushers that it's about keeping on asking. Because the reason I say this is it's fascinating. It's an infinitive. He just keeps on saying it. It's interesting. And then Jesus stopped, verse 49, and said, call him. And they called the blind man, saying to him, now this is what some of them said to him, take heart. Take heart. That's a lot different from shh, right? Take heart. Get up. He is calling you. You can't help but wonder, maybe he was ministering to the rest of them, helping them understand, well, wait, this is Jesus. You're supposed to be asking him for mercy. But anyway, they encourage him. He goes, and this is like a very precious moment. This is like the precious place of this whole text. Jesus says, the blind Bartimaeus, he says, what do you want me to do for you? Now, do you suppose Jesus knew? I mean, he's God. Of course he knew. But why is this so precious? What does Jesus understand about Bartimaeus? He understands how important it is for Bartimaeus to share. You know, when a little girl falls down and skins her knee, what does she do? Goes around and shows everybody. Why does she do that? Because it helps her heal. It helps her cope with her heart and her mind, right? And if anyone knows how important it is to be able to pour out one's heart of anguish and pain, it's Jesus. And so he says, and I mean, this is so precious. He says, Rabbi, Pastor, let me recover my sight. I mean, earlier it was Jesus, Son of David, have mercy. I mean, his role of kingship. And now it's pastor or teacher or healer, that I may recover my sight. Precious. 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 What do you need to be asking Jesus for today? What do I need? How big is the list? Where does it hurt? Ask for mercy. And of course, Jesus does not treat us as our sins deserve. He suffered what we could never suffer. He did what we could never do. He came to give us the cure that we need in the forgiveness. Our greatest malady is not our physical stuff. It's the blindness of our sin and our unbelief. It's our desperate desire to be the ones in control. It's the desperate desire of us to try to have it all figured out. It's that. Far worse than any and all the physical maladies are the spiritual ones that you and I have, where we can be so spiritually deaf, dumb, and blind. And yet it's to that very unbelief that Christ came, and by his cross, by his innocent suffering, we have his cure. For Christ's sake, God loves you and favors you. He wants to take the circumstances of your life, and he wants to bless you. He wants you to trust that, even as you ask for mercy, even when it still hurts. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. And so we trust that he can bless us like no other. And to think that he can bless us in time and to give us the promise of forever. My mom turned 95 yesterday. We celebrated her birthday yesterday all afternoon. It was so much fun. And then she said, I hope that my birthday celebration ends with my death this evening. She just wants to go to heaven. That's all. She has the eyes to look beyond death and the grave. Oh, she's still alive and kicking, but, you know, probably a little disappointed. But, you know, God's mercy helps us look at things. We had a memorial service for Linda Krause on Friday. And, you know, she had blood cancer. She recovered from blood cancer. Then she had gallbladder surgery, and she died. And what was so amazing to go and visit with her is her humble confidence in the Lord. Despite the circumstances going on around, the challenges that she was facing, that's the faith of the Christian family of God. It's a faith that gives up on self, that gives up on our skills, knowledge, and abilities, and trusts in Christ. Now, Christ blesses us so that we can use our skills, knowledge, and abilities, but it's about trusting in Him, whether we live or when we die. It's looking to Him who does have mercy, who considers our helpless estate and comes to us with His grace. But this gives us a confidence today, where we live in a world of religious peer pressure, where everyone is going along to get along. Don't fit in, ask for help. Not only for yourself, but ask God's mercy on the people around you, the people you love and care about. How about the people that drive you crazy? Ask God to have mercy upon them too. The ones that make you angry, the ones that make you fearful. Your spouse. Quit pointing at the other person. It's you. Amen. Yeah. I mean, we need to ask for mercy for ourselves, and we can ask for mercy for everyone else, knowing that Jesus is the one who shows mercy. And it's amazing how blind Bartimaeus was changed. I mean, it's no small task to heal someone from blindness that happened somehow, some kind of an accident, some kind of illness, some kind of a disease. And immediately, Mark loves to showcase things throughout his gospel with that word, immediately. I mean, that's not the way they do it in the medical field, but that's the way Jesus does it. And He can do it in your life and my life. How many ways has He? Maybe there's places where we still need to say, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. But this is what Christ gives, so that we can have the confidence to say with Paul, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's the way the Lord would have you and me live today in this brand new week. And there are places where you and I will be challenged. To be sure, you can count on it, where our unbelief is going to start getting in the way. And that's where we can say, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Have mercy, Lord. Son of David, Rabbi. If you've never called Jesus Rabbi in a prayer, why don't you try it out? Teacher. I mean, He is the quintessential teacher. He is our teacher. And He's the one that we can cry out to. Don't just go along. Ask for help anytime you need to. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, the peace that goes beyond all that we understand, may that peace from God guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.